Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find the fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter number 5 this morning. If you do not have a Bible, should be a Bible in the pew in front of you that you could feel free to pick up and to use. I trust that you'll be able to read along with us as we continue our study in the book of the Revelation. A very important chapter today, a chapter that I have entitled for my message this morning, The Opening Scene. Last week, we made a major transition in the book of the Revelation as we made our way into chapter number 4. We made our way into the third major division of the book, the things which Jesus told John that he should write about, which should be hereafter. These are things that have not happened yet. Revelation chapter 4, all the way through to the end of the book, is prophetical. I promise you this, if Jesus said they will happen, they will happen. But they have not happened as of yet. Last week, we came into that change of scenery as John was translated in the Spirit off the island of Patmos into heaven. John immediately beholds, when he gets to heaven, the throne room of God. He is immediately overcome with the one who sat upon the throne. We know that one to be God. We know that there's one God, three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes even saved people that have been Bible students for some time struggle with the fact that there's only one God in three persons. Well, Pastor, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There must be three gods. I submit to you, based on the authority of the Word of God, there are not three gods. There is one God. Three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John, looking into the throne room of heaven, sees God seated upon the throne, the splendor and glory and majesty of that throne. John sees all three persons in and around the throne. He sees the Father on the throne. He sees the Spirit of God before the throne. In chapter number 5, he sees the Lamb of God as he makes his way out of the throne. We understand that in the Bible, the word throne carries with it the idea of judgment. We know that chapters 4 and 5 are so pivotal and so important to the rest of the book of the Revelation. The reason being is the book of the Revelation now primarily deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ. It deals with a subject that I'm going to explain to you in just a moment. And the question in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 that is being answered is, who in all of the earth and under the earth, who has the right to judge and rule the earth? And these chapters precede chapter 6, when those seals, as we'll talk about in a moment, begin to unfold and open up upon the earth as God is unfolding his will and redeeming the earth and in responsibility here for redemption and a judgment upon that earth. John gives us the opening scene in chapter number 5. Very, very dramatic. Very, very emotional. Filled with heights and depths. Filled with weeping. Yet, praise God, at the end of the chapter, that weeping turns into wonderful worship. And my desire today is to preach to you, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God to enable me to preach with clarity. I need you to give me your concentration. I need you to think with me. I need you to work a little bit today. Don't lose me. When you lose me, grab yourself and say, what did he just say? Can you do that? Amen. All right, good. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1, chapter number 5. John says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book, or a scroll would be the word, written, notice, within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I did what, class? Wept. So much for no tears in heaven. I hope you don't believe that. That's not true. There will be tears in heaven. There has to be tears in heaven. Because otherwise, how will God wipe away all tears? You can't wipe away something that's not there. There will be tears in heaven. They will be shed. But praise God, as it all unfolds and we come into that wonderful dwelling with the Lord Jesus, all of our tears will be wiped away. John says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. The opening scene, as it is unfolding, I can imagine if Hollywood had their opportunity or their shot at it, what it would look like. I'm sure as it would begin to play, there would be some kind of music, some kind of soundtrack that would begin to play in the background. And I can see Hollywood bringing in a kind of a dark picture and bringing us maybe up from the earth and through the clouds and into the space and through on into the north and walking us and bringing us through some door and some hallway and into some room, and the room is just filled with glory and splendor. But there's one man in the room that is broken. He is broken down. He is weeping beyond measure. Now I can understand as they concentrate just a little bit on him and he's overcome with emotion as they began to pan. They would pan away from him to that glorious scene, and there stands, or there sits God in that book in his hand, that scroll, that loud angel will be somewhere. And I can hear as they would just play, who is worthy? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book? And I can just picture them panning in on that book and then fading into darkness, ending the opening scene. This is what we have as far as a dramatic understanding of the opening scene of Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. We have a broken down man. I don't know that you've ever been so overwhelmed with grief, or you have ever broken down and wept beyond measure. I believe in my lifetime I have probably broken down and wept beyond measure maybe 2 or 3 times. When I was so overcome that I could not stand up, I could not get out of the chair, I just began to weep. This would be the Apostle John. This, the one who has had this wonderful vision, this one who turned to see the voice that spoke with behind him in chapter number 1 and got a beautiful description of the Lord Jesus. This man that was given those 7 messages to write and to send to those 7 churches. This man that's translated into the Spirit, into the throne room of God. Now in chapter number 5, he's so broken down and overwhelmed, all he can do is weep. I submit to you that you must, if you are going to worship with him at the end of the chapter, you must understand why John is weeping. I submit to you that even though this weeping is written about a time that's in the future, it's must and dire that you understand this weeping now. I submit to you that this message will do more to secure you to the authority of Jesus Christ. And when you leave here, you will believe he is worthy of his name. John is viewing something that he understands that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. And John is understanding and looking at an act that was given by God. It was originally given to the nation of Israel. It found its way within the economy and with the activity of the nation of Israel. And it deals with this word, and I need you to hit this word in your memory, in your mind. He's looking at the act of redemption. The act of redemption. I want you to say the word out loud so it'll hit in your mind. 1, 2, 3. Redemption. The act of redemption. I submit to you that this is what the book of the Revelation is all about. The book of the Revelation is all about God's redemption. And its urgency is in the fact of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. What is redemption? By definition, the word redemption is the restoration of all that was lost. Redemption is the restoration of all that was lost. John, as he is translated into that opening scene of heaven, is seeing in the hand of God what he knows and what he has experienced in the hand of man. And he knows historically that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. For redemption is a word that comes to us from the Old Testament custom. When God created, God gave the nation of Israel the promised land, God gave them a land to dwell in. He promised them that he would care for that land. But that land did then, and it does now, and has always belonged to who? To God. God was the owner of the land. He gave that land, as it was, as an inheritance to the nation of Israel. But God had given them that land. And to the Israelite, God wanted them to always inherit and always own and know the land. If a man lost his property or his land was sold, thus disinheriting his family from the land, then there would be the opportunity for a kinsman to come and buy back the land at any time by paying the purchase price of the land. Then the land could be restored to its rightful owner. When the kinsman would come, the kinsman that would redeem the property, he would purchase back that property. There would be an instrument given. There was an instrument of writing that was drawn upon on the inside. On the back side, there would be the signatures of those that were accountable. Those would be the ones that would have the authority. They would be the ones that would sign that. And then on the back of those witnesses, then the deed was rolled up and it would be sealed. Then that would be given to the Redeemer. The Redeemer then could at that moment or later or whenever he wanted to come back to those people that are on the property, and he could say, I have redeemed your property. He could break those seals, unfold that book, and that book or that scroll was the title deed to that property. A redemption brought with them a redeemer. John is seeing what he knows as to be a scroll in the hand of God. He knows it's written on the inside, it's witnessed on the back. He sees those seals in the right hand of God. John knows that he's dealing with the act of redemption. So he knows that redemption has been purchased. But when the cry goes out, where is the Redeemer? John begins to weep. Nobody shows up. In order for you to understand how that moment could break John down, you need to understand the scope of redemption. If redemption is the restoration of all things lost, in the economy of Israel, it dealt with land. But in the throne room of heaven, and what we are talking about right now, it not only deals with land, but it deals with other things that man has lost. When you read the Bible, you will find that you and I and humanity, through Adam, when sin came about, we lost a lot. Don't lose me. Check back in with me. When man went into sin, he lost three things. He lost his soul. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. When man went into sin, he lost his body. Dust thou came from. Dust thou shalt return. When man went into sin, God came down and God escorted Adam and Eve outside of that garden. God put a cherubim there to protect the garden. No longer did man have the opportunity to eat from the tree of life. When they were no longer able to eat from the tree of life, age began to creep up in the body. The body began to decay. There was no renewal of that life. There was an angel with a flaming sword. They had no access, and the body began to die. Praise God that spiritually speaking, we can know eternal life, because he that hath the Son hath life. A third thing man lost that day. He lost the earth. When God created Adam and he breathed into him the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, God gave Adam a responsibility to have what over the earth? Dominion. When God came after that sin and God announced the consequences upon man and the consequences upon woman, he also announced a curse upon the earth. We know that curse to still be in at this time. We know that Paul says that all of creation groaneth and travaileth in the now, waiting for the redemption and the victory out of that curse. And so what we need to understand is that three things were lost: man's soul, man's body, and man lost the earth. In Revelation chapter number 5, two of those things have been redeemed. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, in Revelation chapter 4, we learn that the church is with the Lord in heaven. Therefore, our soul has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We also understand in Revelation chapter number 4 and 5 that if the redeemed are with the Lord, we have a glorified body. Listen, one day when you die and your body goes into that ground, that body's going to be resurrected, a glorified body. Immortality will put on mortality. Corruption shall put on incorruption. And we're going to get a new body. How do you know that? Because Jesus got a glorified body. He's the first fruits of that. We have that promise as well. In Revelation chapter 5, the rapture is over. That resurrection has happened. And you and I are with the Lord in those glorified bodies. Mine's going to have curly, thick hair. Redemption. The restoration of all that was lost. John is viewing in heaven this transaction. Obviously, the price has been paid. The scroll is there. It's written on the backside, which means there are witnesses. It's sealed by an authority, which means it is a real legal document. But who's going to open up the scroll? Who's going to be the Redeemer? Who's going to come and to break those seals? And who is going to come and present this? Why is this so important? Don't miss this. If you're saved right now and you believe when you die you'll go to heaven, would you say amen? If you believe every word of the Bible, would you say amen? Okay. John is there and he's holding in that throne room. He knows the soul's been redeemed. He knows the body of man has been redeemed. But there was a third part that needed to be redeemed, and that was the earth. And John knew that on the earth now, It was still being ruled and reigned by the Antichrist. First John writes, even now the spirit of Antichrist is already upon us. Listen to what Isaiah wrote about this new heaven and this new earth. In Isaiah chapter 11, this is what he says. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, speaking of the Lord. And faithfulness and the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There had always been the promise that the earth would be redeemed. There's always been the promise that the earth would know the peace. It would know what it was created in. It would know innocency again. And God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. The kingdom of God will reign upon that earth. Here's John looking in the throne room of heaven. He knows two parts of that redemption have happened, but the third part has not happened. I submit to you this. If redemption is the restoration of all that was lost, if redemption is not complete and does not recover all that was lost, then it's not total redemption. Let me put it in vernacular. If God doesn't redeem the earth, you're going to hell. If God doesn't redeem the earth, you can't believe Jesus. He's not the Lord. He's a liar and he is a lunatic. If God doesn't redeem the earth, you cannot trust this Bible. We have no hope to stand upon. Here's John in the throne room of heaven. He knows the price has been paid. He understands that. But where is the Redeemer to finish the redemption? Are you with me? John says, when I thought about that, I began to weep. I was broken. Look at verse number 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a, say it class, lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns, all power and authority, 7 eyes, the omniscience and knowledge of God, which are the 7 spirits of God, and forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on that throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down. One of them, and before the Lamb, every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the what class? Hold your hand here. You got to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Everybody's got to go to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll never forget Ephesians chapter 1. You'll write it in your Bible. You'll study it. Every time you come across this verse, you'll understand where it comes from. Ephesians chapter number 1. You want to know who this lamb is? You want to know what's happening here? Look as you would in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 10. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God has a plan. He might gather together in, say it class, 1, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an, what's that word? Oh, you got to say it, inheritance. being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were, what class? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until, circle that word until. Circle it. Until the redemption of the, what are those two words? Purchased possession. Don't lose me. I remember I begged you, work with me, think a second. Paul, writing that great book of that great letter to the church at Ephesus that shows the church everything we have in Christ. Paul, writing about these spiritual blessings that you and I have now. John, writing about something that has not yet happened. And Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds them of the inheritance that is being held against the purchased possession. Inheritance, purchased possession. You understand what an inheritance is. An inheritance is something that you receive because you were born lucky. Right? An inheritance is a piece of property or something that your family owns that they did not lose. It could be money, it could be land, it could be valuables, it could be treasures, it could be whatever, but it is property passed down through the lineage, never lost. Different is a purchased possession. Purchased possession that Paul writes about also goes back to that Old Testament time. Here, as a purchased possession, it's not a permanent possession. For example, Malcolm and I own land. He owns the Redmond estate. I own the Hunter estate. I love how that sounds. I don't have one of those, but I love how that sounds. Let's say that we are Jews. Somehow Malcolm loses his estate. He comes in on hard times. Somehow he has to sell his land. The Hunter estate, being shrewd, liking the land, I come to the Redmonds and I purchase their inheritance. I purchase their land. I purchase that to me. I am not an inheritance of this man. I do not come from his loins. He has a son. In the economy of God, when God gave him that land was to always be in the Redmond family. Therefore, even God set up something called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, if you lost your land, by law, that land was to be returned to the Redmonds so that they always had their inheritance. However, we're a long way from the Year of Jubilee. And the Hunter estate, led by a mastermind, sees opportunity. And I purchase his land. I own a purchased redemption, which means this. It's not a permanent resident. It's a temporal possession. I would never be secure in his land. What does that mean? That means I don't build a house, I build a tent. That means that I don't tie all of my hopes to the Redmond land, because here's what could happen. If that Year of Jubilee doesn't show up, the Redeemer could show up. and the Redeemer would show up, and he would be in the Redmond family. And the Redeemer could go and he could purchase for what I paid for his land. He could purchase that redemption. They would take it down to the office. They would do all the paperwork. The witnesses would sign. They would roll that sucker up. They would seal it. They would give it to his inheritor. And that Redeemer would come find the leader of the Hunter estate. And that leader would come and find the Hunter estate. And he would break open that seal. He would unfold that scroll. And he would say, pack up and get out. And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Leave. I'm not leaving. No, I have the deed now. You gotta go. Do you understand my illustration so far? Are you with me? I think so. Are you sure? Because it's about to get great in here. I'm hot. I'm trying to think, did I iron the back of my shirt? I did. Actually, my wife ironed it, so it should be good. I preach this message twice. Here we go. Where's the Redeemer? John says. The announcement goes out, the strong angel. Nobody on the earth could come and break those seals. John said, it overwhelmed me and I fell down, and pretty soon an old man came over, an elder came over and said, well, what are you doing, boy? John said, there ain't nobody to open the seal. He said, look in there. And John said, I looked in that throne and out came a lamb. As he had been slain from the foundation of the world. And John said that lamb went over there with those seven horns, all the power, all authority, with those seven eyes as the Spirit of God. And that lamb took the title deed of the earth into his hand. And John said, I went from weeping and wailing to joining that song of the redeemed. Redemption, the restoration of all that was lost. Come back with me to the Garden of Eden. Come back to me when Adam took humanity into sin. When Adam took humanity into sin, you and I and the earth were lost from God. But God promised there would be a Redeemer. And years later, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. He sent forth his Son who humbled himself and became a man and found in fashion as a man. And he was born into humanity, the God-man. That man lived a sinless, holy life. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Alpha and he is the Omega. That man went to the cross and paid the debt for our redemption. They crucified him. They buried him. And God raised him from the dead. And in heaven, somebody wrote that down. I am he that was dead. I am alive, and I am alive forevermore. And they rolled it up. And God the Father has it. And one day, the Son's going to come. And John said he's going to take that scroll out of the hand of the one that sat on the throne. And he is going to rip those seals, all seven of them. And he is going to come to this lost earth that was stolen by Satan, that is being ruled and reigned by Satan, that has the spirit of Antichrist within it, that causes all creation to groan and travail, and all the sin of humanity. And God is going to come to that lawless one, and the Lord Jesus is going to break open those seals, and he's going to say, I was dead, I was buried, and I'm alive, and I've got the title deed to the earth, and you're finished here, Satan. Glory to God, we serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says they're going to open up a pit. They're going to throw him in there for 1,000 years, and we're going to rule and we're going to reign. At the end of that 1,000 years, he's going to be unloosed for a little season, and then he's going to be thrown into that lake of fire. And John said, there is a Redeemer who has the right to restore all that was lost. I tell you what, that Redeemer is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, until that purchased possession you have been given and sealed an earnest of your inheritance. Oh, this is so great. What is an earnest? Have you ever heard of earnest money? Has anybody ever had to put down earnest money when you bought a house? Earnest money is a down payment. So here's what happened. When I got saved, the Spirit of God moved inside of me as the earnest of God. Much like the way an engagement ring works with a lady. Will you marry me? Maybe, possibly, hopefully. You take that engagement ring and you put it on her finger. That's not her wedding ring. That wedding ring gets put on at the marriage. There's going to be a marriage church. But you have that engagement ring. And the woman comes in and, you know, she does this number all the time. You know, look, oh yeah, it's, where is it? Some of them, you're like, where is it? Some of them are like, whatever you do, don't show Beverly that, please. And there's coming a day when that wedding ring will join with that. But that's that man's promise that he's going to come get her as his bride. When I got saved, God gave the groom, he gave the bride a promise of the groom's intention. And that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. When the rapture comes, my friend, God's not taking everybody in this building. He's only taking the people he's put a down payment on. What do you mean? Didn't God die for the whole world? Absolutely. But he's only going to receive the people who have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. I ask you, do you have him in your heart? We'll be raptured up. Pastor, I look around at the world today and it terrifies me. It scares me. I just don't know where to anchor myself or position myself. Oh, listen, if you know the Lord, you have the earnest of his inheritance. You have the understanding of what is going to happen. Jesus Christ will take the title deed of the earth and he will rule and reign, and we're on the winning team. Wow. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Next week, he begins to open up those seals. And what happens upon the earth is unbelievable. Shall we pray?